30 Minutes to Curtain. Yes, it's 30 Minutes to Curtain, a weekly half hour of radio entertainment. Each week at this time, we bring you mystery, comedy, adventure, romance, fantasy, and fun. This week, a tough gangster demands a hospital room, but not for his health, as we bring you Hospital, Zone of Quiet, by Milton Geiger. And now, here's the play.
This is the reservation desk, right? My name's Steve Gall. Is room 1001 ready?
I'm sorry, sir, but there's no reservation for you. Did your doctor make the arrangement?
Oh, child bride, just give me the stout little man who runs this carbolic stand, and I'll do the rest. The boss. Got that?
Yes, sir. Hello. I'm sorry to disturb you, but may I speak to Dr. Glidden, please?
Now, that's more like it.
You have a lot of nerve coming in here shouting and threatening, demanding a bed, Mr.
Gault. The name is Steve Gault.
I'm sorry that you had words with our admitting office, Mr. Gault, but I'm sure you can readily understand.
I can't readily understand nothing. I want room 1001, a simple request from this Antheap of Mercy, and I get some limerick that you're full up.
That is substantially the case, Mr. Gault. I'm sorry we're filled with people waiting.
Look here, Doctor, who do you take me for? Outpatient Oswald, Charity Ward Charlie?
You don't expect us to evict a patient to make room for you?
Why don't I?
If you'd care to name your personal physician.
I don't have a personal physician. I have a Cronkite. I'm a sick man. Isn't that enough?
Just why must you have room 1001? Why that particular room?
I'm a particular roomer. I'm cranky and eccentric. It makes me crave funny foods at odd times. And room 1001.
Well, since you've no physician, we'll have to examine you first in order to establish some reason for your hospitalization.
Fine. Just so I get the room.
Now, see here, Mr. Gault, I've had
this is a real nice hospital, Doc. It smells important, and I like it here. I'm surprised you don't.
Why, on the contrary, I like it very much.
Then why aren't you making any effort to stay here?
I
know you know who I am and what I can do in this town, but you're still sitting there and giving me the old college brush. Trouble with you brilliant doctor fellas is you're brilliant, but you're not smart. Now get smart, Butch, or just get. Is that clear?
You will excuse me for a moment, Mr. Gault. This is Dr. Glynnis. Who is in room 1001 right now? I see. Then the patient is ambulatory. There'd be no problem putting him in another room, would there? Good. Would you arrange to have 1001 vacated sometime today?
Not sometime, now. For a very urgent case.
Within the hour, Miss Drury. For a very urgent case. Fine. Thank you very much.
Cigar, Doctor?
No. No, thank you.
You'll keep these anyway. I'll get some more at the newsstand. And please, no flowers.
This will be your room, Mr. Gault. Room 1001.
Surprise. Mind if I open this window? As if I cared if you mind.
Not at all, Mr.
Gault. Not at all, Mr. Gault.
You're lucky. This is one of our very nicest rooms.
Nice view.
I didn't really notice the view. I mean, it isn't anything special. It was, I guess, when you could see the park and the lagoon from here, before they put up the apartment buildings.
That's what I like about it. Apartment buildings. I'm a city boy. I begged my mother not to let me join the Boy Scouts. It was such a shock to her, it hastened her death by several years.
Well, I...
City boy. I love hot asphalt and swank apartments. You don't?
I really must get started with some work, Mr. Galt. If you'll excuse me,
Oh, by the way, I want a telephone installed in here today.
Did Dr. Glynis say it would...
I say it would...
There's an extra charge.
Who's worried about the charge? Just get it, Nursey.
I'll order a telephone for you right away.
An angel of mercy. The room was fine. The view was perfect. From where I was laying, I could turn my head on the pillow and look across the street right into Larry Lacondra's apartment. As soon as those shades were pulled up across the street, I'd know Lacondra was home from Florida, and we were expecting him any day now. Me and the boys, that is. Pretty soon, Frank Merriwell and Tom Swift came in and installed a telephone next to my bed, then tramped out as proud as if they'd just lifted the Titanic from the drink. As soon as I was alone, I reached for the receiver. Give me 876-5501.
What is your room number, sir?
Room number? Oh, 1001, of course.
Thank you. That was 876-5501.
You were here a real good lady. Brill? Galt?
Yeah?
I'm in.
Is he?
He's still got the drapes closed. Probably still in Miami.
Ring us when he's back.
I'll ring you when I decide.
Okay.
You'll do your job. I'll do mine.
Check.
Someone's coming. You'll hear from me. I hung up just as Dr. Glynis came in with a young doctor in a white uniform. He had slick hair and a winning smile on his kisser, and he looked like the ads that say, "Our patchouli is laboratory tested by technicians from leading diploma mills all over the South." Glynis looked unhappy, but the young guy kept smiling, like the winner of a men's singles at Wimbledon.
Mr. Galt, this is my assistant, Dr. Fleet.
Dr. Fleet, how are you, Doc?
Well, fine, thank you, but more importantly, how are you?
I feel pretty good. I'm kind of tired and my appetite's shot, but that's about it. What I came here for, Doc, is rest. Vacation in bed.
Well, we thought we'd run a few simple tests and initiate treatment accordingly. Nothing serious. Probably just a very mild regimen.
Hey, why not? I can use a checkup. I'm paying for it, ain't I? Only don't send to Vienna for somebody with a beard. Handle it solo, okay? You can do it, Doc.
Well, we'll do what we can, Mr. Galt.
I may feel better when I get out of here at that.
You just lie back and make yourself comfortable. We'll be back later.
Yes, sir. Kill two birds with one stone, I always say.
How's that?
Huh? Oh, nothing, Doc. Nothing at all. I hate hypos.
This is a vitamin B shot. Gives you an appetite.
It also makes a hole in my arms.
It'll make you eat like a horse.
I'll look good in a nose bag.
There. Dr. Fleet says you're to get plenty of rest. I'll just close these curtains so you can sleep.
Don't touch that window.
But Dr. Fleet told
me. I don't care what Dr. Fleet said. Get out of here.
Mr. Galt.
I said get out of here now.
All right, Mr. Galt.
And don't disturb me again. For a full week, I watched Lacondra in the big apartment across the street. I got to know when he came home at night, when he got up, how long he took his breakfast, what he ate for breakfast, what he wore outside, and more important, when he wore it. On the evening of the eighth day, I was ready to fix it so that Larry Lacondra would never see the evening of the ninth day.
Your number, please?
876-5501.
Thank you.
We're in.
Yeah? Go ahead.
Late morning is the time for it. He gets up at 10, shaves, has breakfast, and reads a paper till 10:35. Then he gets dressed. He comes down the elevator almost exactly at 11:05 every morning. You could set your watch by the guy.
Anybody with him?
He picks up a convoy of goons when he gets to the corner. It never fails. It's the one time in the whole day his guard is down.
11:05.
Roll out the black sedan. Let's do it up right.
Check.
Be there at 11:03. That way you don't have to wait more than 3 or 4 minutes at most. Nor he'll take much notice of a car at the curb for a couple of minutes. Got it?
Right. When?
Tomorrow morning before he goes away again or something stupid like that. Cut out wide open and let him have it. Compliments of Steve Galt and the boys.
Routine.
Who runs the racket in this town?
You have to ask?
Yeah. So long. That takes care of Mr. Larry Lacondra.
Your order, please.
How about a double scotch and water in 10:01, baby? I feel good. My work was over. I relaxed. A few minutes after I phoned my final instructions, Nursey came in to give me another shot. A half hour later, in walks Smiling Jack, Dr. Fleet to the rest of suffering humanity. But I was feeling so good, I didn't mind him. I didn't even mind the 20-carat smile he kept flashing at me as he talked. He was all charm, passing out medical witticisms as he looked over the bottles and boxes of medicine on the night table beside me. Yes, sir, all charm.
And how are you feeling this pleasant evening, Mr. Galt? You look sparkling.
Funny to relate, I feel terrific. Never better. On the ball.
Glad to hear it. I rather thought those shots would do the...
Smell it, Doc.
This empty hypodermic vial here.
Yeah. Nursey stuck a needle in it, then stuck a needle in me. That girl's vicious.
You say you feel very alert and chipper? Very sharp. I mean, more so than usual, that is.
On the ball. Why?
Things look clearer. Sounds are sharper. Your sense is keener in general.
Yeah, that's just about it. Good stuff, eh, Doc?
There was a very definite air of exhilaration about you when I came in. I assumed it was...
Dr. Pleat, Dr. Glynis would like to see you.
Oh, Nurse Kincaid, would you wait a moment, please? I'd like to talk with you.
Excuse me a minute, Mr. Galt.
Hey, what's going on here?
Miss Kincaid, would you check with Dr. Glynis in the biological laboratory? Find out.
Hey, I'm over here, remember? And I don't like being ignored. Doc!
Please hurry with that, Miss Kincaid. It's very important.
Yes, Doctor.
Well, now, Mr. Galt.
Listen, Doc, what's the pitch? What gives?
What gives? Why, nothing. Nothing at all, Mr. Galt.
Nothing at all, Mr. Galt. And why all the questions? Why all the whispering with Florence Nightingale, huh? And what's with the empty vial?
Just asking the dispensary to furnish a lower potency ampule, that's all. I want them to change the prescription slightly.
You're slightly lying.
I really think the best thing for you to do would be to relax.
Why? What's wrong? What did you do to me? It has to do with that hypo she gave me, doesn't it?
Just relax, Mr. Galt.
Why?
Because I say so.
Because you say so. Because you say so.
Mr. Galt. Yes, because I say so.
What's with all the whispering, Doctor?
Mr. Galt, I think you'd better get some sleep.
Why? What's wrong? What did you do to me?
Just try to get some sleep.
Hey, where are you going?
For Dr. Glynis. He may want to give you a sedative.
Wait a minute, you.
Get back in bed, Mr. Galt.
What's going on here?
Mr. Galt, at present I can say only this. Unless you follow our orders to the letter, we can't be responsible for what may happen.
What do you mean, what may happen?
I'm not at liberty to say right now, but you must follow my instructions to the letter. That includes staying in bed and not getting out on any account. I'll get Dr. Glynis.
After a few minutes, a different nurse came in and gave me another shot. I began to feel drowsy. I tried to fight it, but I couldn't. I couldn't. That's all I knew until I heard the telephone buzz far away, like I was dreaming.
Yes? Oh, yes, the lab.
Yes? Yes? What? Well, how in heaven's name could that have happened? What was tetanine for laboratory purposes only doing in a batch of parenteral vitamin B? No, I'm not blaming the lab. I'm not blaming anyone. It's done. Now we have to try to undo it. He's sleeping. And by the way, you certainly should have known better than to buzz me in the patient's room. Yes, I realize that, but you know the effect of sudden noises in a tetanine intoxication. Use your head.
Oh, Doc.
You're not to excite yourself, Mr. Gault.
I heard you just now. I know the answer. I'm poisoned. Who do you think you're kidding?
You're not to move, Mr. Gault. You're not to become excited or raise your voice. You must feel and speak in a monotone. Don't even think excitement. Do not raise your voice and do not try to get out of bed. That's very important. Do not get out of bed. Do you understand, Mr. Gault?
What have you done to me?
There's been a mistake.
How bad?
Now, somehow, a vial of tetanine hydrochloride got up here.
Tetanine?
It's a powerful convulsant poison.
You stupid half.
Easy, Mr. Gault. If you lie perfectly still and remain calm and receive no sudden sharp sensory stimuli, you can weather this safely. Any sudden stimulus, any sudden cold or hot applications to your skin, any loud noise or bright light could throw you into violent convulsions.
Convulsions?
These convulsions could bend you over backwards like a jackknife. They could also kill by respiratory paralysis or by sheer physical exhaustion.
You've fixed me good, haven't you?
I'm telling you this so you can help us in saving your life. Do you understand, Mr. Gault?
Yeah, I understand. Thanks, Doc. Thanks.
What the? Hello. Cut off all calls to this room at once.
Get it out of here. Get it out.
Disconnect this phone immediately. Immediately. Do you understand?
Doc, help me.
Just relax.
Help me.
Here, I'll shut the window and close the curtains. We can't have any noise coming up from the street.
Noise?
No noise. And no light in the morning.
Noise? Noise?
Here, I'll go down and have some things sent into your room.
Doc!
Yes? What is it?
Nothing.
Remember, then, take it easy. Think darkness. Think monotone. And keep calm.
Noise. No noise, he says, or it's just too bad for me. No noise from the street. Convulsions bending me double. Breaking my back. They're going to let Lacandra have it in the morning. Machine guns. No, I'll stop them. I got to let them know. I call it off. Phone. I got a phone. Operator, give me 876-5501. Hello, operator? Operator! 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 Disconnected. Disconnected so I wouldn't be disturbed. Oh, that's rich. That's real good. Easy, Gault. Steady. Steady. Keep calm. Can't get excited. Gotta go to sleep. Think of something. Gotta go to sleep. Nurse.
Shh.
Do me a favor. And not a word of this to anyone else. Understand?
I'll try.
Telephone 876-5501.
876-5501?
Yeah. Tell him it's all off. Tell him not to come.
It's all off. Don't come.
Tell him Gault says so. Tell him I'm sick. Very sick. doctor not to go through with it. Say it.
They're not to go through with it. Galt said so.
They'll understand. They better understand.
I'm off duty at 8 in the morning. I'll call them.
No! You call now. Call now!
I'm under orders not to leave you. I promise I'll call first thing in the morning. Now go back to sleep.
It's life or death. 876-5501.
I'll remember. 876-5501.
Life or death.
Mr. Galt?
Did you telephone?
Yes, I did, Mr. Galt, but there was no answer.
No answer? I've got to answer.
The operator rang and rang and...
Tell her to ring again. Tell her. Tell... Tell her they've got to answer.
I'll try again in a half hour.
What time is it?
9:35.
90 minutes left. Tell her to call him now.
But I'm not allowed to go off duty during...
Do it! Do it!
Well, all right. But I'm just doing it to keep you from getting so excited. Sorry!
Oh, Galustus! Oh, my back is breaking!
Doctor! Doctor,
that was a close call, nurse.
I'm so sorry. I started it. I knocked over that instrument tray. I started his convulsions.
Dr. Glynis pulled him out this time. I hope there isn't a next time.
Time?
11:03.
5 minutes to go.
Hmm?
Doc, go to the window.
Why?
Just do it. Go to the window.
All right, all right. Take it easy, though.
Is anybody in the street? Anybody down there?
No.
Really?
Not a soul.
Maybe... Maybe they're coming after all.
Nothing down there but a big black sedan at the curb.
Sedan?
Big black job.
Open the window. Tell them to go away.
Tell who?
Tell sedan. The big black job. The boys. Send them away, I tell you.
Lie down, men. Lie down.
You want to kill yourself?
They're going to pour it into him. They're going to kill Larry Lacondra.
What are you talking about?
They're going to let Lacondra have it. They're going to pour it into him. Make him stop. Make him stop. The machine guns, the noise will kill me. Make them stop. They're going to murder Larry Lacondra.
Nonsense. Nonsense. You're hysterical, man.
Not nonsense. Not nonsense. I told them to. I planned it. Machine guns, noise, convulsions. Tell them to go away. Go to the window and tell them to go away. Tell them. Help me. Help me.
It's amazing, Fleet. Amazing. I wouldn't have believed it.
Is he all right, Dr. Glynis?
Oh, yes. Quite all right.
Fleet.
You spilled everything, Galt.
Talked?
Yammered.
Look, boys, forget everything. I was delirious. Keep this away from the cops and I'll make it worth it.
I'm the cops, Galt.
Cops? You?
You see, Galt, I wasn't at all intimidated by your gangster tactics getting this room. You just aroused my suspicions, so I called the police. They put their cleverest man on the case.
Why, thank you, Doctor.
You lying. Is that any way to treat a sick man?
You were so convinced that you had tetanine poisoning that you even went into the classic convulsions when you heard loud noises.
I wasn't poisoned?
Of course not.
What about Lacondra? He's dead. I had him shot.
Part of the plan, Galt. Policemen firing blanks into the air.
You dirty swindling. You call yourselves doctors.
I don't.
You call yourselves real guys doing that to a fella? Making all that racket outside? What about that injection? That mistake you made?
That was ordinary quinine sulfate.
Dogs. Dirty double-crossing dogs.
I was just saying to Fleet here that it is amazing what the power of suggestion can do.
You want power? You want a suggestion? Now you know who I am. I'm Steve Galt. I run the rackets in this town.
Past tense, Galt. Past tense.
Hospital. Hospital, Zone of Quiet was written by Milton Geiger, produced by C.R. Bryan III, and directed by Phil Campbell. Sound patterns were by John Greifendorf, Diet Langford, Jerry Goldstein, Kedron Bryson, Barbara Watkins, and Stuart Simon. Technical assistant, Jerry Wiggum. Our story starred Charles Girardi as Galt, Alf Powers as Dr. Glynnis, Bob Mitchell as Fleet, and Al Bloomfield as Brill. Also heard were Ruth Marcus as Miss McPeak, Jane Olenoff as Nurse Kincaid, and Linda Fytak as the operator. Executive producers were Herbert T. Schmidt, Jr. and Steve Gell. This is your announcer, Bob Lyons, inviting you to join us again next time for that fast-paced quiz, The Man Says Yes, starring Bob Janet, on 30 Minutes to Curtain.